You're grinning at me, Steve, like a Cheshire cat. What do you think's coming up here? Oh, look at the lovely women. Oh, okay. Not me. You're looking right past me, right? How y'all doing today? Pretty good? Awesome. Awesome. I'm doing awesome, too. By faith. Good. Well, yeah, I'm filling in for Cliff today. And you can see the picture up there, the ladies, Nancy and Kathy, and the ladies are down at Rehoboth there. No shorts. There. One lady there's got a raincoat on. Is that Kathy? Who's that? Oh, well, anyway. Anyway, they're having a great time down there. The Lord's moving there, and I'm sure he'll move here also. So, whenever, I retired 3 years ago, you know that, right? Oh, you don't know who I am. All right. Good morning, I'm Glenn Stroll. Come on, Glenn, raise your hand there. Glenn and I go way back, Glenn and Lori, yeah. No, my name's Rick, obviously. And so I retired 3 years ago, right when COVID was hitting. So my last sermon was preached to nobody. Except live stream. And actually, I was called in from retirement to do that. So anyway, that doesn't even really matter. But anyway, what does matter is that at that time, the Lord told me that when he would call me back in to talk, it would be to talk about things that were fundamentally important, things I learned over 40-some years of following him that people just need to know. And a lot of times, it's just basic stuff. And what I'm going to be talking today is not only to you, but it's to me. It's things that I have to constantly relearn and still learning it today. I look at you, you know, you young folks around, lots of young folks here today. You know, I am so glad that you're here. I'm telling you that if you'll put into practice what I'm going to talk about today, your life, you will be able to fulfill all the dreams that are deep in your heart. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, a young person today or if you're like me, a little older. But as we'll see, still full of sap, you know. There is a way to go about life. And the title actually, I read a proverb a day. And on the 12th of May is when I promised Cliff I'll fill in for you that week. And I was reading Proverbs 12. And before I talked to him, and the Lord just spoke to me about this passage here, Proverbs 12:12, the root of the righteous will bear much fruit. And we're going to get to that verse in a minute there. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, aren't I? But anyway, we're talking roots to fruits today. And I want to just say right up front, and this is what I've been talking about even before I retired, 2019. I did Saturday night services for a little over a year, I believe it was, and I just talked about the way of the Lord. The way, will you just repeat that phrase with me? The way of the Lord. I say it again. The way of the Lord. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way to live life. God says there is a way to live life. There's a right way to live life. In fact, when we talk about the word righteousness, what we mean is, it's the right way to live life. And so, in contrast to that, of course, let's read together Proverbs 10:29. Are you ready? Loud and together? You know, I got to get somewhere where I can see. All right, here we go. Ready? Loud and together? The way. Every time we say way, I want you to shout. All right? The way of the Lord is a stronghold for the upright. In the way of righteousness, there is life, and in its way, there is no death. So there's a way. Isn't that a funny word, way? It's kind of a funny word. When you say it often, it's like, what does that word mean? There's a way, right? There's a way down from this. Look at this nice thing that we built here for me. We're going to get to that in a couple of minutes, aren't we? But, I mean, there's a way down off this stage here, right? There's a way to live life, but then there's another way. Which way is that? Let's read this together. There is a way which seems right to a person, but its end is the way of death. You have to understand that most people that you know are walking the way of death. They're walking the way of man. They are following the herd and the crowd all around them because, you know, well, hey, the majority is always right. The loudest voice is always correct. You say it often enough, and it's got to be true. All right, I'm preaching already. It haven't started yet. All right. See, the Bible teaches that there's a right way to live your life, and our culture says that's ridiculous. This book is a Bronze Age book. It's obsolete. It doesn't even know what it's all full of myths and fairy tales. And, you know, that's just what the world's telling you. And that we have a better way to live life. We know better. And whether you admit it or not, I can tell you right now, myself included, every person in this room lives with a constant bombardment of information telling us that God's way is ridiculous and their way is better. And what I'm going to be telling you today, there's a fundamental thing about God's way that is so fundamental, and yet it's simple, but it's hard. And it's hard, not because it's hard. It's hard because it's so easy. Oh, there goes that Dropbox thing again. Oh, you don't see it. Okay, good. All right, here's what the Bible teaches. That there's basic disciplines that are necessary to live a fruitful, blessed life. They're just basic disciplines. The ladies are on retreat this weekend, right? So Colin and Ethan were supposed to, they did. They stayed with me last night, right? Colin and Ethan, two of Bethany's boys, right? For a lot of different reasons, which I'm not going to get into. But anyway, so Nancy writes down all these instructions. Well, Bethany typed out all these things, but then Nancy has to add on to it. Make sure the boys shower and brush their teeth. And I can guarantee you when Nancy said the boys, she was including me. Guaranteed. There's just basic things that, you know, and I think maybe us boys might be a little bit more inclined to this. We just get busy and forget to do some of the things that people want us to do. All right, so here's what I believe, right? And, you know, I could do like a five-day seminar on this. We're going to get it into like half an hour. Right. But there are good habits that the Bible teaches that are disciplines that ensure that each part of your being will be well cared for, and as a result, and that each part of your being is the root of your life, and that being ensured will produce fruit. That is a successful life, the abundant life that Jesus promised. We always say, you know, Jesus said, the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. We quote that like constantly. Like, all right, I'll take the abundant life. Thank you. Well, I'm telling you today that absolutely, Jesus said, I have come that you might have the abundant life. Right? And I've come this morning to tell you how to have that abundant life. Now, the backslider in heart, Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. See, there are consequences to neglecting God's way. That's what Proverbs 13:13 says. You neglect God's word, you neglect God's way, it's not going to end well. Now, it takes faith. What I'm talking about today, you know, if whether you're have accepted Christ or whether you haven't, what I'm talking about today is a way of life that is so different than what you see other people living that your brain goes tilt, tilt, tilt. That just don't make no sense. But Jesus calls us to walk on water. There is a way to live life that requires faith that you end up walking through life literally what I consider walking on water, in the sense that Those looking at you think it's impossible. That's why I like that song that that we sang that last time. You know, he moves mountains. He'll do it again, right? He makes a way where there is no way. This is the kind of God that does stuff that we just think it's impossible, but he does it. But he doesn't just do it. He wants every person who believes in him to live their life in a way that when you look back, like I look back at my life and I think, that's crazy. We walked on water. And I'm telling you today how you walk on water. Oh, the backslider in heart shall be filled. What I'm talking about to you today, all right, I want to tell you right now, I am a backslider. Two or three times a year, I backslide. And what do I backslide from? Right, you probably got all kinds of things in your mind, right? And this is where I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'll tell you. But, you know, I backslide in that I get so busy, I got so many things to do, right? And I just don't spend that time in the morning with the Lord. I just get busy and I go. And I'm going to explain to you as we go through this why that's backsliding. But I just wonder if I could have a volunteer come up here. Now, it can't be somebody who is like me, old, right? Because it's going to be a little bit of a physical challenge. But what you see up here, okay, I'm up here and I'm living the abundant life. I'm up on the stage here. I'm up at this level here, right? Now, okay, so I'm coming down the steps. You notice I didn't use the... No, can you see this over here? All right. This is a shortcut. This is... Lloyd, where'd you put that water bottle? Underneath the stage. Ah, yeah, there we go. Oh, we even got some Dawn here. Oh, nice. Okay, so, you know... There's man's way that we think, oh, this is so much easier than walking up steps. I'm just going to walk up the ramp. I didn't get a volunteer. I need a volunteer. Oh, come on. All right. Good. He's like, I'm going to prove Rick wrong with this illustration because I always got these weird illustrations, right? All right. So this represents man's way, all right? Ramp. Obviously, you know, steps, ramp. I'm young, I'm full of sap, I can do this, right? So I'm going to take the ramp. Now here we got some peer pressure, here we got a little bit of some friends, you know, and they're telling you all the wonderful things about life and how it is to go to live life their way, you know. I don't know. You think? What kind of shoes you got on there? You probably came with your suction cups, right? And then we got the devil. Here's Dawn. Then we got the devil. He's whispering in your ear, God, his way? Are you crazy? That's stupid. That's obsolete. That's just fairy tales. Jesus never did a miracle. All right? So, you know, you realize that in this life, we have a lot of things trying to tell us God's way is stupid, right? And all right, so why don't you try to get up to the abundant life using, he's going to prove me wrong. How many think he's going to prove me wrong? Do me a favor and slip. Oh yeah, it worked, Lloyd. Oh, look at him. Now wait, stay up there. Now he was on his hands and knees when he got there, right? He was begging for mercy, right? When you don't do things God's way, it ends badly. You end up on your hands and knees, right? And just crawling and trying to scrape by. Good illustration. We didn't even practice that. All right. Now then, you're up here, but again, the old, you know, your friends say, You don't, come on, come fishing with me. You don't have to spend time with God. And so, you know, and God's saying, well, now there's steps to take, right? But now you're busy, you know, so why don't you try going down? You think you should go down the ramp? Well, you ever notice when you backslide, you don't slide front? It's not called front sliding, right? You don't slide uphill, you slide downhill. You slide back. Back into what? What do you slide back to? Old ways. Old ways of doing things, right? So, which way are you going to choose? All right. Did he make our point? Or do you want to see him go down the ramp? Lloyd promised me our church insurance was paid up, so... All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. See, man's steps are ordained to the Lord. Proverbs says, man's steps are ordained to the Lord. So there are steps to take. One, two, three,
four, five.
Hey, and now here we are, living the abundant life. Right? But next thing you know, here comes all the bombardment. Everybody wanting you to do what they want you to do, you know, and next thing you know, you're, you were so afraid I was going to do that. You're like, come on, Rick, how many operations have you had? Which part of your body has not been replaced by? All right, let's read together Proverbs 12, 12b, aloud and together. But the root of the righteous yields fruit. All right, more props. The way down to church, I pulled this out of the woods. Right. But you know, I mean, so you notice it says, I forgot this is sappy. All right, okay. The root. Everybody say root. All right. Now, what kind of tree is this? White pine. You're absolutely correct. Now, I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but this tree actually goes down here. You see this root right here? That's the main root. And then there are side roots that go off from it. See that? All right? But there is a root. There is a main root. Right? And I'm here today to tell you that your main root is your spirit. And everything else taps off of that. But your root, the root of the righteous, yields fruit. So the root is the unseen part. Anybody here looked in the mirror and seen your spirit? No, you haven't. You say, well, I see it in my eyes. Well, that's a window to the soul. But the fact of the matter is that the invisible parts... Paul said that which is unseen is permanent. That which is seen is temporary. Okay, so the unseen is what's the most important part, right? No root, no tree. Just like no hoof, no horse, right? It's the same thing. No root, no tree. So, now the other thing I want to define there, because, you know, everybody says, well, you're self-righteous, right? Okay, let's just talk a minute about what it means to be righteous. Now, it means someone who disciplines themselves to live God's way, the right way, right? There is a right way, requires discipline, and that's what righteous is. Now, could you hear that? No. Remember Forrest Gump got on the bus and the little girl says, are you stupid or something? What does Forrest say? Stupid is as stupid. My mama says stupid is as stupid does. Right? And so, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time here. This could be another whole sermon. But one of the problems that I see with Christianity is that, especially evangelical Christianity, I mean, the other non-evangelical, I don't want to go down that road. But evangelical Christianity is that they stress imputed righteousness so much that it really doesn't matter what you do, right? And I want to finish that sentence by saying it's absolutely correct to say, once you accept Christ, it doesn't really matter a whole lot whether you do what I'm going to say the rest of this message or not. You're going to get to heaven. Like the Apostle Paul said, you know, there are those who are carnal Christians who will get to heaven, but they'll smell like fire. Right? And instead of having built with stone and gold and precious stone, they will have built with straw and hay. They built their life. Okay? So, much of my life, I have talked more about practical righteousness or practiced righteousness than I have imputed righteousness. Because it's so easy to use that as an excuse to not practice righteousness. And practice righteousness is where you're going to get the fruit. That's where you're going to get the consequences that are good. Got really quiet. Oh, Rick, I wanted to hear that no matter what I do, I'm going to have an abundant life. And that's not true. There will be consequences. And if you don't follow God's word, it will end badly. Oops, I went too far there. Okay, first of all, we are not self-righteous. Oh, I was talking about me backsliding. I did tell you about that, didn't I? Yeah. Like two or three times a year, and I'll tell you more about this as we get down to the other, but two or three times a year, I get so busy, I just forget to feed my spirit. And even worse, I'll tell you that later. I'll tell you about that later. But first of all, you know, I want to just say right up front, you know, I have spent my life, and I believe that true Christians spend their lives just trying to understand the Lord's ways and live a pleasing life to Him. That's what we try to do, right? And we freely admit our falling shorts. Now this, right? What do you mean falling? Oh, boy, I've had a couple back operations since I did this last. All right. But, you know, what? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God, right? So, you know, what do we got here? We got falling shorts, right? People walk around, right? They don't want to admit they got falling shorts. Like, I'm cool, man. No, your shorts are falling, right? But how many Christians, they don't want to admit that they're falling short. I'm telling you right now, I fall short a lot. And don't just talk about my 5'6", that I used to be 5'8½", right? And I am falling short that way too. But, right, the truth of the matter is, we all fall short. We all, you know, that's just the reality of it. And I put these on, you know, really not to be funny, but to just to burn into your brain this truth. We are not self-righteous. We're not walking around saying, well, I do everything perfect, right? We got falling shorts. Your shorts are falling. And it's better to admit it than it is to act as though you don't, right? And then I want to say we totally rely upon His grace to walk upon water and do things His way. If you have any success at living life His way, it's going to be because His grace enabled you and not because of your self-ability. Amen. You're going to have to ask Him. And at the end of this service, I'm going to have you say, Lord, you know, if you want this, you're going to have to say, Lord, put the desire in my heart. Give me the ability. Lord, help me do this. Because you're not going to say, yep, I'm going to do this. It's not going to work that way. To walk on water, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, and you got to freely admit that I am just not where I need to be. All right. So Psalm 1:3. I can't believe we're only... Okay. Let's read this together. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's where you want to be, right? You want your marriage to prosper. You want your career to prosper. You want your life to prosper in every way. Well, I'm telling you, now what did I do? I hit the blank. Okay, let's read this one. The righteous will flourish like the palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. No, wait a minute. Okay, it says the righteous. What do I mean by the righteous? Somebody yell it out. Living the right, trying to live the right way, all right? Exactly right. Trying to live the right way. They will flourish. Okay, where we're planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courtyards of our God. They will still yield fruit in advanced age. They will be full of sap and very green. I know what you're all thinking. Rick, that you're advanced in age. Are you still full of sap and very green? All right. So this is from my Bible. It's just what I do. I draw pictures in my Bible and make notes to myself. But that's where we're going today with this, all right? You can see I've made some corrections as I've understood it better and better. But your root is your spirit, and that is your energizing force. That's your life force. Your spirit is your life force, right? And it's why the Bible uses the heart synonymously for spirit. And I'm not going to, again, that's another whole subject just for, I don't even know, a couple sermons. But I just want to say that if you'll do a word study of spirit and heart, you'll find that those words are used interchangeably, especially in the Old Testament. And then there are two offshoots from your spirit, and they are your soul and your body. All right, so there's just a few verses to talk about your spirit. Ready? The spirit of a person is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. All right. I just want to throw it right out there right away before our next verses come up, is that your spirit is the seat, is the heart of your passion, of your desires. And God searches your spirit to see what's important to you. That's what it means here. He's looking at you to see what's most important to you. And it's in your spirit. That's your spirit, is your heart. It's your heart of passion and desire. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? The spirit. What's willing? Spirit is willing. Why? Because that's the heart. That is the seat of desire. So the really question today is, what do you want? You want what the world's offering? What you want to buy what the world's selling? Or do you want what God's selling? What do you want? Because God's looking at your spirit and saying, what do you want? And he burrows right in. And you're not going to say, well, God, I want you, when your root's really in the world. He can see the difference. All right. Let's read some other verses that use heart and spirit. So I'm ready. Hurl away from you all your offenses which you've committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Let's read Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine, and a broken spirit dries up the bones. All right. And I'm just using those verses to show you the heart and the spirit are synonymous. Sometimes I've said that the heart is more like a bridge between the spirit and the soul, and that is also true. But anyway, let's keep moving, because I don't want to really spend time talking about that. Now, let's read together really a key verse here, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, together and aloud. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just say this part and emphasize spirit, soul, and body. And be your spirit and soul and body be kept complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So let's just say this together. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Let's say it again. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in the body, right? So your body is the tree, right? Right? The root is your spirit. And so I have there, you know, listed the three things. The spirit is your heart, the seat of desire, passion, and will. Soul is your mind, it's your intellect, your emotions, your reason. And your body, of course, is your flesh, your five senses. Now, All three of those parts of your being need nutrients to live. That's why they're roots, right? They all need nutrients. I forget I had these falling shorts on. What's the role of these roots? What are they supposed to do? I hear all kinds of things. I mean, first of all, they hold the tree in the ground, don't they? They anchor it in the ground. Okay. Is that their primary purpose? Probably not. What's their primary purpose? Absorb nutrients. Absorb nutrients to feed the tree so that it can bear fruit, so it can reproduce. It's got to absorb. So your spirit is the main root, and it is made to absorb nutrients. The question is, what is your spirit growing in? What kind of ground is your spirit growing in? I'm going to get to that in a minute, too. Okay, but first of all, I just want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, which you've already read, so I don't have to talk about it. Does these bother you, or should I take them off or leave them on? You guys, you just can't make up your mind. Take them off! Put them on! Take them off! Put them on! How many to take them off? Three people. How many to keep them on? All right. The ons win. All right. I mean, you know, if it ingrains in your mind what this message is about, then it was my humiliations for a good purpose. All right. So the role of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what are these? We said that these roots need nutrients, right? Right? Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, right? There's minor nutrients. They need things. But how do they get them? Can you just dump like a bag of 10-10-10 on there and watch it grow? What does it need? Water. Water takes those nutrients and helps them pass into the root, which then can go up the sap and keep the tree alive. The Holy Spirit's role, we don't have to read all these verses. I forgot to wear my watch, and there's probably a climb of 9:32. What time's the service over? Oh, it never ends? Okay. All right. But you see those scriptures, you can take a picture of it if you want to, but the Holy Spirit's job is to take all that the Lord has taught us, whether it be this word here, his personal words to us, and help us absorb it into our spirit. Our spirit then will flow into our soul and ultimately our body, so that our body will do righteous acts, because our spirit is feeding our soul, which feeds our body, and it knows how to act right instead of stupid as a stupid does. All right. So our well-being, fruits produced, flows from the inside out and is dependent on our use of discipline, trained good habits. Let's read Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart. Watch over your spirit with all diligence. Now, where do you get the word discipline, Rick? Well, diligence is another form of discipline, isn't it? If you're like, okay, I look at Glenn there. I mean, this guy's, he's disciplined, and he's spent his whole life in fitness. Lori too, but I mean, you know. But you don't just like one day wake up and say, I'm going to lift weights today, and I'm going to be buff. Right? I mean, this is pretty obvious. You work out for half an hour. All right, thank God that's done. Right? Diligence is what? Doing it every day. Or doing it at least three times a week. Right? It's saying, I'm going to do this in a disciplined way. I'm going to keep at this. I'm going to keep doing it. Let's read Proverbs 16:32. This is one of them. What I'm telling you today, this is not just stuff that I'm like, oh, let's just make up a message. This is such fundamental stuff. This is the base. This is the foundation of the house of your life. Let's read it. He who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a city. If that's true, then your primary goal, your number one goal, should be to rule my spirit. I want to make my spirit, I want the desires of my heart, the desires of my spirit, to be what God wants. That should be my number one priority, because that says that that's better than capturing a whole city. Another whole thought, isn't it? How difficult is it to capture a walled city? Well, that's how difficult it is to rule your spirit. Without God's grace, you can't do it. Without asking Him and committing your life to Him and saying, Lord, I want you to do this, you'll be sliding down that ramp. I got to keep moving. Okay, so root to fruit. So what ground do you have your root in, this world or God? So as we talk about this, I want you to be thinking, you know, how do I spend my time? What do I do first? What ground is my spirit in? What's first? What's most important to me? What do I spend my life, my time, my dreams? What do I think about? That's where your spirit is. That's where your root is. And I want you to think about, what does it mean to have your root in the world? So feed your spirit, your heart first, all right? So this is all basic stuff, right? The discipline of devotions, reading, memorizing scripture, journal. You know, I've said over and over again, a proverb of the day. Today is the 20th, so what proverb would you be reading today? Proverbs 20. Today's the 21st. All right, there you go. See, Sunday's a free day if you come to church, because you're reading the Word today. That's my philosophy. If you're really disciplined, then you say, there's no free days, right? I want to say right off the bat, you know, I believe, there's 7 days in the week, right? So if you do 4 days out of seven, you're batting like almost 600 per, I mean, you'd be in the Hall of Fame, right? So we're not talking about some kind of legalistic, do it every day, get up at this time and do this and do it for so many minutes. Because God's looking at your heart. He's saying, what do you want? Do you want me? Do you want my way? What do you want? Because if you're sitting there, Rick says, I got to read the Bible. I can't believe this. All right, there I go. Okay. All right, I did that. You happy, Rick? Right? You're in my head. Get out of there. Right? Even my voice resonates in your head. Right? Okay. So we're talking first. First. When you're, you know, when you're going through your day and you know, and you're trying to get, you're under the truck and trying to get one of those hard nuts off, you know, like, and then you start saying, you know, GD and blah blah blah, you know, like, right? What would be first? Okay, my knuckles are wrapped. Lord, please help me get this nut off of there. Right? It could be, you know, going through your life first, driving to work, Lord, help me get to work without crashing. Help me to work without getting road rage. You know, whatever it might be. Lord, but you just, he's on your mind. I remember one time, you know, about probably 20 years ago, I was so busy building the church, building the house, building everything. And we got into some marital difficulties. And I said, what's wrong? You know, and she says, well, I just feel like I'm taken for granted. I feel like I'm not first on your mind. Ooh. You're right. I'm sorry. I got to change that. A few ladies who are here, how many want to be first on your husband's mind? Absolutely. No, I'm not talking about God. No, I want God to be first. We understand that. Right? Willie Nelson. Right? What's that song? Always on my mind. Right? I mean, there's just a way to go about life when you have first things first. And if you get them mixed up, then, you know, so worship, you know, just telling God, God, I love you. When's the last time you just, you know, said, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I'm thankful, Lord. Thank you. When was the last time you did it? Right? I'm telling you, You get out of that bed and your feet hit the floor. Thank you, Jesus. I'm awake another day. Thank you, Jesus. I'm vertical. Thank you, Lord. My shorts are still up. we missed one here. Okay. Fellowship, where two or more believers gather, Jesus said, there I am in the midst. Hebrews 10 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some have practiced, but gather together so that you may be stimulated for love and good deeds. There is just something about the first. That's, you know, people say, why do we worship on a Sunday? Well, because Paul said, you know, when you assemble on the first day of the week, you know, and bring your first fruits, you know, first, God wants to be first. First day of the week. You guys did great coming on the first day of the week to put God first. That's great. Think, oh, thank God I did something right. Well, what's the world's? What's Satan's alternative? Come on. You're way too busy. You don't have time for that. Right? Come on. Come on. That's the world we live in. And you got probably five other, you guys that are here today, you probably had five other places you could have been instead of here. For some reason, you chose here. Good for you. You did something right. All right. So I just want to say, what's the world Satan's alternative? I mean, what Satan's goal is, you know, Revelation, I say it all, every time I preach, I say it because I believe it's fundamental to understanding life. And he was cast down from heaven to the earth where he deceives the whole world. His job is to deceive the whole world. Believe it or not, you and me are in that world, and he's trying to deceive us and think there's some other way to live than God's way. Is he successful? Spirit is willing. Your spirit is your will, it's a desire, it's your passion. What's your root in? What's your spirit in? What are you passionate about? What do you desire? This is the bag that Beth left on our rocker in the sunroom because I was watching the kids. She went to the retreat. But I thought maybe at least one person would laugh at that, but you're all like, maybe it's just too true. I can't. My kid has practiced a game or something, right? So I'm already too busy and overwhelmed. That is the definition of backsliding. No. Oh, you know what? I think the dawn might have got hard. It's gripping me. Oh, no, I'm slipping. Oh, whoa. See, I had to wake you up. Twisted my knee a little bit there. But that's what happens. That is the technique. That is the deception. That there are other things that are more important than brushing your teeth and showering. Things more important. What did Jesus say? Let's read together and aloud. Do not be worried about your life, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. What I'm telling you today is not to add something else to your life, but do the one thing in your life that will make everything else go better than if you had just jumped into it. Quicker, better, more successful, everything. You will never, ever, ever regret anything you give to God, whether it's your time or your money or anything else. He will take it and multiply it back to you and say, well done. You had faith, you walked on the water. Good for you. It's as simple as that. I'm not saying add one more thing to your life. I'm not saying, oh no, now I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning. No, I'm saying examine your heart. Say, Lord, put the desire in my heart to spend time with you. Because I believe that if I spend time with you first, everything else is going to be provided to me. Oh, here, okay. Let's read this. Let's read together the spirit of a person. Ready? The spirit of a person can endure his sickness, but as for a broken spirit, who can endure it? 9:45. When's this service over? Nobody told me when this service is over. 10 o'clock? Oh, okay. I got a half an hour then. Two more songs? Yeah, we often delete them. We'll do them. See, what this says is you can endure anything as long as you feed your spirit. You can do anything as long as you feed your spirit and keep it healthy. So what does it mean to feed your spirit and keep it healthy? It means taking time in the morning, spend it with him. Read your proverb, digest it, say, Lord, what does it apply to me? Help me today, Lord. Now, I was going to tell you how I backslid. At Easter service, Cliff said, have you been a good friend to Jesus? I think that's what he said. Have you been a good friend to Jesus, right? And I had my arm in my sling. I just had shoulder replacement. And I said, honestly, Jesus, I think I've been a better friend to you than you've been to me. Hey, I got phone shorts, right? I don't want to drag this out a whole lot, you know? But I'm going to tell you that that was in every Easter. Every time Easter would come around, I would be so sick. I used to dread Easter. 40 years. You remember, Glenn, Lori, when I'd be up here preaching and my throat would seize up? Right? It was always in the spring. Get me some water, quick. Get me some water, right? I've had a chronic sinus infection since 1999. I've been to specialists all over the world. I shouldn't say that. All over. India and Palmerton, right. And this thing, and by Easter, I mean, I had my arm in a sling, so usually when, because it creates ear pressure like you can't believe, and tinnitus, like it's like buzzing in your head like you're going crazy, right? And I had this, and I had my arm, usually I deal with it by just keeping busy, but I had my arm in my sling, I couldn't do much, and so I was just, I was going nuts. On Easter morning, well, Saturday morning before the Easter service, I said, Nancy, come, we got to pray. You got to agree with me here. Jesus, either heal me or take me home. I cannot deal with this anymore. Now, that's pretty serious stuff, don't you think? And I told Cliff when after the service, a couple days later, I told him, I said, I think I've been a better friend to Jesus than he's been to me. I mean, and I've gone through this whole thing. Paul had this thorn. Is this my thorn? I've never got a yes. It's always been like, no. No. Fight it. Get healed. So this has been a 25-year battle. Right? And where was I going with this story? Backsliding. Falling shorts. Yeah. So anyway, and I think it was one morning. See, I had gotten into the habit. I'm not even exactly sure when it was, but it was a couple of months that I had gotten into the habit of getting up in the morning, coming down, turning on the television, sitting down with my cup of coffee, and watching the news. That's a backslide, right? Instead of going out into the sunroom with my Bible and my journal, and right? And I didn't even realize it. I did not realize that by not feeding my spirit, this is not a once-in-a-lifetime issue, okay? I've done, like I said, two or three times a year, I will get so busy or so distracted or have surgeries or whatever that I will just get out of the habit of spending time first with God. And at some point, like it says, like that verse said, the backslider will get filled with his ways. And at some point, like when I pray with Nancy, Jesus has got to take me. I can't take this anymore. I'd say that's pretty much an indication that I was fed up with my ways. Would you say? And so, I'm sitting down there watching television, sick. This is after Easter service, whenever that was, this past April. This is not old news, right? This is pretty fresh news. And I'm sitting there, and Nancy always goes into the study, and she spends her time up there with the Word, and I think that morning she might have sent out her hidden morning verse, and it popped up on my computer. And it's like, my word. No wonder I'm filled with my will. No wonder I'm sick of life. I've not been feeding my spirit. And so what did I do? You thought, well, you just kept on. No. I've been around a little bit, I know. Right? I turned off the television. I went out in the sunroom. I got out my Bible, and I started reading the proverb of the day. And thank God I've been doing that ever since. And the tinnitus has not gone away. The sinus has not gone away yet. But what this point is here, and when I look back on my life for 40 years, and I've had this for at least 25, if not longer, I look back, how in the world did I ever endure that? And I can tell you can endure anything if you feed your spirit. I'm not up here saying if you feed your spirit, you're never going to have a tough time, never going to have anything wrong with you. I'm not telling you that. This verse doesn't say that. This verse says if you feed your spirit, you can get through anything. But I don't want to get through anything. I want to have anything. Well, that's the battle. That's the battle. And I'll tell you right now, I am convinced that before I see Jesus face to face, this whole sinus deal is going to go away. I'm convinced of that. I believe it with all my heart. And if not, well then so what? Then I'm healed by going to Jesus. But I know how I can take every day and make it a successful, fruitful day by spending time with him first. That's how I can do it. Now, I hope you've grabbed on to that secret to success, because that is it. It doesn't matter what curves life throws at you. It doesn't matter what you have to go through or endure. If you'll spend time with the Lord, you will come through it. And as our one verse says, the righteous grows brighter and brighter like the noonday sun. Oh, here's Grammy. After I was writing this message, I guess this was Thursday morning. Now, she's 92. So I go up. Nancy's at the retreat, so I go up to check on her, right? She's up there. I've been studying since 7:30. Now this is 10:30. She says, I just can't stop. And I thought, you know something? I bet there's a lot of Christians who don't spend time with the Lord because they're afraid they won't be able to stop once they start. Right? I mean, if you've had 401, you know what fun it is to do a word study, and you know how time just flies, right? Well, he who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a whole mighty city. You got to learn how to say no. Your spirit, everything else. There was many years, that's another whole topic, isn't it? Many whole years I thought you can't ever say no to your spirit. And that's why we would have like 2-hour-long messages instead of now. We all have 40-minute messages. They will still yield fruit in advanced age. They will be full of sap and very green. How many of you still want to be sappy when you're 92? Yeah, absolutely. All right. In the morning, Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will present my prayer to you and be on the watch. I know I've been at this 40-some years. Folks will say, well, how about if I do it on my lunch break? How about if I do it driving to work? How about if I do it at night before I go to bed? And I'll say, you know something? Do whatever works. This is not legalism, but I want to tell you right now. Last thing at night is not first thing. Lunchtime is not first. What's left over with your paycheck is not first fruits. First is first. I'll say it again. Everybody say, first is first. First is first. All right, I think our time is up, isn't it? Yep, it is. So soul, right? I always want to say, you know, the Bible, this book is to learn God's ways. You got to, you know, you, no matter where you're from, no matter what you did, no matter what schools you went to, you've got a certain way to go about life. And I can guarantee you it does not line up 100% with God's ways. This book will teach you God's ways. That's why I'll say it. There's a proverb. There's 31 Proverbs, one for each day of the month. You want to learn God's ways, read a proverb. Read a proverb, and then if you want to do more, you want some icing on the cake, read something in the New Testament. But God's way, if you read the New Testament and you read the Proverbs, you'll see, wow, the whole New Testament is commentary on the Proverbs. Okay, and then in the Proverbs it says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. 49 times the Proverbs say, train your soul, train your mind to always be climbing a new learning curve. And I'm going to ask you right now, what learning curve are you on right now? Think about it. What am I learning fresh right now? Like right now, I'm learning how to publish my sermons. I'm trying to learn again, you know, trying to learn how to fish successfully. Right? I'm trying to learn how to grow old gracefully. These are all learning curves that are not easy. But my whole life, because of these verses, I have said, I'm going to tackle something new that I don't understand, that I don't know, that I have not mastered. I'm going to tackle it, and I'm going to do it. And I don't care how long it takes. What are you smiling about, Mark? shooting a 1,000-yard gong. All right. And then the body, of course, needs clean air, healthy food, clean water, exercise. What's the world's alternative? The world's alternative, of course, for our mind, they want to feed us through the educational system, through the news media, through the movies. You name it, they have got pipelines into your soul. They got pipelines into your soul. I got to keep moving here. What's Satan's alternative to what your body needs? Okay. All right, here we go. Here's what Paul says. Read it together and aloud. But I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Never discount the importance of bringing your body into line with what your spirit says is right and good and important. So it's your choice, God's way or man's way. Again, I've not said this to try to make anybody feel guilty, not to add one more thing to your list of things you can't do or will never do. My goal today is to share with you what I believe with all my heart is the number one foundational truth about how to live successfully God's way. Spend time with Him first thing in the morning and feed your spirit. And everything else you need will be provided to you. Together and aloud, poverty and shame will come to one who neglects discipline. But the way of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter like the noonday sun. Roots to fruits, what ground do you have your root in? This world or God? All right, that's it. That's it. Roots to fruits. What's your root? This is the test. What is your root? God is not your root. Your spirit is your root. Your spirit is your root. You have a choice to have that root growing in the world's way or God's way. You just bow your heads for a moment. I want to ask everybody in this room right here and on live stream, listening to this message, where would you say your root is at? Is it in the world or is it in God? What's the desire of your heart? God's way or the world's way? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that's the very first step in this whole process. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to look up at me and let our eyes meet, and I want to agree together with you that today's the day you're opening your heart up to Jesus Christ and letting Him know that you want to live your life His way now and no longer your way. If I don't see you looking at me, just wave your hand at me so I can see you looking at me for that reason. My next question is for those of you who have accepted Christ and know Him as your Savior. Have you backslidden and put your root back into the world instead of God? If that's the desire of your heart, just look up at me, wave at me. All right. Good. Yeah. A bunch of us, of course. It's as natural as being a human being. Would you all please pray this prayer with me together and aloud? Lord Jesus Christ, You are the way, and You're the only one who can feed my spirit. So I make the decision today, again and afresh, to sink my root deep into You. Help me, Lord Jesus, by the power of Your Spirit, by Your grace, to spend that first time with You. So that everything else I put my hand to do will prosper, and I will bear fruit. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.